Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, this is BJ. Thanks for listening to our show's podcast. If you're a fan of all things geeky, you should check out my other podcast, BJ Shea's Geek Nation. We have new episodes every day, and you can check it out at bjgeeknation.com.
Your driver's license is important so you can get back and forth to work, get your kids to school, and back and forth to daycare. If your license has been suspended because you can't pay your tickets, you can't do any of those things. Let's talk about Chapter 13 bankruptcy. You may have heard that tickets cannot be discharged, but they can be dealt with in a Chapter 13 case. Why not come in for a free consultation? The chapter you choose will make all the difference to your getting back, legally, on the road. Let's design a plan to pay off your tickets and restore your license immediately. I'm Attorney Travis Gagne. Please contact me today at ChooseTheRightChapter.com. That's choose. therightchapter.com.
99.9 KISW, the Rock of Seattle. So this survey, it was a happy survey. They asked people to name the most magical moments in a person's life, and we've got the top 10. So I thought I'd go around the room and see, okay, you know, some of us are at different ages, so maybe we haven't had the magical moment hit us, or, you know, there's more magical moments to come.
Oh, man. Oh, the first one that pops into my eye. When I got married, BJ. The wedding day. No, I mean, that's, of course, right up there. But the one that just comes to me, are we talking about child's life or of all life?
A person's life.
Oh.
And you're close with wedding. You know, wedding did not, wedding's number two.
Okay.
So that's number two. You were close to the number one thing.
But the thing that pops in my head right now is because, obviously, when I got to wrestle at Battlemania, that first moment when I got tagged into my match.
Wow.
And the way that the crowd reacted, I can't even put it into words, man. And I at the time, I didn't even really fully appreciate it. But when I went back and watched the tape and just got to, like, hear how many listeners were there and how they reacted to it, was such a cool moment. I'll never forget that.
Do you think it's because you're in the public eye or people are lying? Because there's nothing like that in the top 10, like a personal achievement moment like that. There's nothing like that in there.
I wonder if it's... I don't think it's because of the public eye. I think that maybe people are just... Their instinct is to say, my wedding day.
Yes, I
agree.
Or
the day I gave my birth to my child. I mean, we all understand that those are magical moments.
Yeah, though, and that's close to the first one, by the way. It's actually hearing your child's first word was number one.
Yeah, like when Lulu first barked.
Okay,
it was incredible.
That's not what...
When Demet Carl first meowed, it was amazing.
No,
yeah.
Those are not
it took
on
a
the
while.
List.
It
there's,
did.
No, there's nothing about your damn dog or cat on the list, no. No. Yeah, sorry, guys. That's not on there. But number one is hearing your child's first word as far as the top magical moments in a person's life. Number
so is
two
that, is that for you? Hearing Sarah or Joe talk? I mean, based on the last conversation we had with your daughter and their sex tape with Ryan Gosling, I would imagine she doesn't make the list.
Look, these are great moments. I put them as in the top magical moments of my life, getting married and having kids and whatever the words I, you know, fine. But those are in the top, I guess.
Do you remember your child's first words?
Yeah, well, what were they?
No, I don't remember them. It's probably no or yes, right?
But no, I don't want him as my father?
Yeah, I think it was no. I think Kathy would remember. I don't remember their first
words. You don't remember your kids' first words?
No, I don't. Not if I'm being honest.
No, I know you're being honest. You don't know your brother's middle name. I'm not surprised.
I feel like no. I remember hearing no a lot from Sarah, so I feel like that might have been her first
word. That's not a word. It's like, you know, saying black or white's a color. It's like, yeah, they kind of are, but...
Well, I mean, you know, they, she knew. I mean, she was definitely responding like, I don't want that. I don't want to do that. Joe, I don't remember his first words. I really don't. Yeah. Sorry.
Oh,
love
his
you,
first
son.
Word was basketball.
Oh, basketball. Yeah. Okay. So, yeah. So, hearing your child's first word, getting married. Number three is having a baby. How about you, Vicky? What do you? What's your most magical moment? And I hope it's not involving some toy.
No, it wasn't a toy. It was just like actually losing the virginity part. That was awesome. Like, it was a really cool moment, and it was outside.
The closest thing they've got to that is your first kiss.
Oh, that was nice, too.
But you know what? I have to say, for me, the losing the virginity was terrifying, more so than, like, magical.
Well, for me, it was just awkward.
Yeah, maybe that would be. It was awkward and terrifying.
You know,
for me.
It was like I wasn't expecting it to happen. The music was kind of weird because I was listening to Pantera when it was all going down.
Damn.
And the song "Effing Hostile" was playing, and it was just like I wasn't really that kind of a guy in the bed, so it wasn't like the music did not, the carpet did not match the drapes, if you know what I mean. Like it was just like nothing was working right.
That was a real bad analogy, but I get what you're saying.
Right, I know it was a bad analogy.
And I mean, like nobody's first time is ever great or anything, but it was the idea of like right after you're done, you're like, oh my god, I'm not a virgin anymore. I'm so bad. Badass. I did it.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah, those moments never really
didn't have that for me.
I'm kind of like you. Like I know that these things are like supposed to be like these monumental moments. Like I think about when we moved to this new studios, and I saw a lot of people when we were leaving the old place were writing like these really heartfelt, I've been here for 5 years and I'm leaving my workplace. It seemed like it was like such a moment. And then some people were like, how do you feel? Yeah, you know, in a roundabout way, I was at that building for 20 years. That's where I started at the end. And I was just like, it's just a building. It doesn't mean anything to me. Like I'm excited. Like we're gonna have a cleaner place, and it's not gonna look so stupid.
I didn't have that either, but maybe because I've been bouncing around so much that I've been in so many studios, it's like. What?
But you've been in that studio for longer than some people. Like some people were posting on their Facebook after a couple of years how emotional this was.
Yeah, I guess
to
you're right.
Leave.
Didn't hit me.
No, but so I don't think those things ever really stand. They don't stick with me. If you know what I mean.
Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to
think. Like when people say, this is the 15th anniversary of my first day at the job of where I work now. I have no idea when I got hired, except for when I get the damn email from our company saying happy anniversary. And I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah, see, my anniversary is tough because they threw me out of the building really quick after I got the job. So it's like, it's not really my anniversary as far as I'm concerned. I had to negotiate to get back in this joint.
So he says, it's ironic that Sarah won't say no now.
Yeah.
The person says, that's funny, her word was no back then, but now it's yes, yes. Ooh, Sarah.
Thank you, Texters. You're all so wonderful. By the way, none of you are part of my magical moments. Number four, buying your first home.
That too. It was cool.
Yeah, it wasn't magical for me.
It was just like, oh, man, now I'm living in Linwood.
I mean, you know, maybe it was. I'm trying to remember if it was magical. It went from magic to tragic very quickly. That's what happened.
Uh-huh.
Because as soon as I bought my home, I ended up leaving the job.
Oh.
And it's happened a couple times in my career where I've said, okay, I'm going to settle down and buy a home. And both times I got fired very quickly after I bought the damn home.
I feel the same way when I got the house in Linwood. Also, I mean, it took forever to find a home. So I was just kind of done. And it was more like, fine, this house works, whatever.
Yeah.
And then I got fired at the old place. And then it was just like, great, I own a home now. Awesome. That's so I had such anger feeling towards that house. I would imagine when Vicky gets her house, it's going to be a pretty special moment.
I might cry just because of the way the market is right now. And then just working up to it and all the freaking adulting you have to do to get to it. It's going to be so worth it at the end when I can get out of my parents' house and just walk into my house.
I like this one. This is pretty cool. The texter says, when the Seahawks finally won the big one. Of course, it was quickly followed by the most heartbreaking and soul gut-wrenching, crushing, destroying moment the next year.
Yeah, see, those are the kind of things that I would think you'd remember as magical moments, but I guess you're not supposed to say that.
So the Super Bowl was obviously a magical moment, but I ain't going to lie. The game against the 49ers that led them to go to the Super Bowl was way more magical because I was there and it was down to the wire to the very last play. The Super Bowl, don't get me wrong, I'm so happy it ended the way it did. It was a blowout because that way you could kind of enjoy the game and we were together. But once you realize the game was like the most magical moment of that game was Percy Harvin's kickoff return for a touchdown.
Yeah, you're right.
At that point, you realize this game's over.
You're right. I mean, it was we got the crown against the Broncos, but the real Super Bowl was against the Niners that year.
Yeah,
you're right. That was a much better game.
Like that was still to this day the greatest sporting event I've ever been to.
And Rev, how about you? What's the most magical moment in your life?
I mean, I wouldn't say the wedding just because it was a steampunk ceremony and it was outstanding.
Cool. That was a cool wedding. My wedding, unfortunately, had so much drama where my father didn't show up. Go. So it was, you know, wedding isn't good for me.
Yeah, it was in Vegas. There was no drama whatsoever. It was absolutely 100% fantastic. People dressed up in steampunk gear to go out to a ranch. Dee Snider showed up.
Yeah.
Like, there was a whole, it was just absolutely ridiculous and outstanding. Standing. So no matter what, I'd have to say that.
Yeah. So Vicky, buying your first home, you know, that's on the list. How about passing your driving test? A lot of people have that on there. I guess when you're 16 and a half, though, I don't know if it's that big of a deal now to younger people, like if the Generation Zs are going to care, because people are so much wanting to, at least around here, biking is the thing to do, and cars are like carbon footprint. I don't know. I mean, is it still a big deal?
Well, if you're living in the city, I don't think it's a big deal, but when you live in like Lake Stevens, like I did, like you couldn't go anywhere. You couldn't walk or
ride
your bike.
Oh, you're not going to bike from Lake Stevens all the way to Seattle? Come on, you can do it.
No. So when I got my car, it was the greatest thing in the world.
All right, let's ask Danny.
Yeah.
What about you, Danny?
When you first heard Good Charlotte on the radio.
That was a very magical... They weren't on the radio, Steve.
Oh, my bad. It was on MTV's TRL.
You know, if I'm going to go traditional, it's when Lily first said, I love you. Not necessarily her first words, but when she started saying, I love you, around like 1.5, 2, it was... That was fantastic.
Okay. So that's... Lily's your daughter, not the barista at Starbucks.
Exactly, yes.
So for anyone that doesn't know.
That's kind of number 7 on the list, but it's interesting because I would have imagined number 7 was hearing someone say, I love you back to you, but I get that. That's in a relationship where so you say I love you to somebody and they say it back, but yeah, a little kid saying I love you, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, especially because she couldn't say anything. It was just like, I love you, Dada. And I was like, my heart melted. And that was like, that's awesome.
That is awesome.
The magical moment for me, I think, was when, as far as kids go, is when it was Christmas. I got a present. And the present I got, Joey was so excited. And it was a present that I was excited about. And it happened to be Magic the Gathering cards. And he was so excited. And I was like, whoa, this little dude's what I like. And I had never, like, all of a sudden, all the father-son moments I wish I'd had with my dad, but we had nothing in common, all of a sudden, like, it was the cat's in the cradle. Everything came crashing in emotionally. I remember my wife was looking at me like, dude, what's going on?
I have someone to play cards with.
And I was like, I don't know, man, this is so awesome. This little kid, Joey, we got him everything he wanted for Christmas. He dropped all of it and came over and wanted to see these Magic cards, and he was obsessed with them. And I'm like, this little dude likes what I like. This is awesome.
That is cool.
Yeah, that was cool.
How about this one? The biggest day, according to a texter, was the day that I got a kidney transplant. That will always be the biggest day of my life, as each day is a day I wasn't supposed to have. Cheers. Oh. That's way cooler than any of ours.
Yeah, you're right. I guess that's a thing. Number 9 on the list. Well, I shouldn't skip number 8. And it's kind of what Vicky said. And I think, in a way, this is like losing your virginity. Your first kiss.
They're completely different.
I mean, I wonder if people say that, but what they mean is losing their virginity. I don't know. Or is it really different? Is the first kiss...
It's 100% different.
All right.
I
think the losing your virginity is a much bigger deal, but maybe not.
Well, I mean, I had my first kiss in kindergarten. I wasn't happy about it. I was forced upon
me. That's what I mean.
By Jennifer Fasanello.
Chased
me around the classroom and finally planted one on my lips.
You got to show me a picture of Jennifer Fasanello these days. What if she turns out to be a bombshell and you're like, I blew it?
I'm fine with where I'm at, man. I think it's on Facebook. I don't know.
All right, well, we'll see. See, that happened to me, and I don't know why she did it. And she turned out to be quite a bombshell and gave me a kiss back in first grade.
All right, let's see.
I do remember that, but see, that was something I wanted, and you know what? It worked out well. Oh, I love it. Is that Jenna?
Those are her kids.
Oh, those are her kids?
She's 7 years old.
All right, well.
That's probably what she looked like when she was a kid. Why do people just have nothing but pictures of their kids?
That means they don't like the way they look. I've known a lot of people that they don't put their own pictures there, and they don't like the way they look.
Pictures when they're young. Yeah, you're right.
That's what they do.
Well, that answers that question, BJ.
Yeah, all right.
It's terrible.
Well, her kids are adorable. You know, good for Jennifer. You know what? At least she made good kids.
Yeah.
Oh, that one kid looks unhappy. Oh, and they like Disney, Danny.
Yeah.
How about we are stalking this poor woman and her kids? This is so wrong.
Well, you're the one who wanted to know.
I was just thinking. You know, I know the woman that killed the woman. Well, I don't know her now, and maybe I'll see her at my high school reunion that I'm going to later this year. But she was a very attractive girl, and she grew up to be a very attractive girl. And I was like, man, that girl kissed me in first grade.
Oh, yeah, she is.
Yes. Oh, yeah. You could do a lot worse, buddy.
Wow, that was very nice.
Well, I'm trying to be respectful to your wife. I don't want to say someone is super, you know what I mean? I want your wife to think that you still picked the right one.
I know I did.
Yeah. Well, I know you did, but I want your wife to know that I believe it as well.
She's great, but it was funny. I remember being in kindergarten. I'm like, what the hell just happened? Why are you doing this to me?
Ah, see this, man.
And I was terrified of her for years.
Just because she gave you a kiss.
Yeah.
But everybody, see, I wanted it. Well,
in kindergarten.
Oh, kindergarten. Well, it's
girls were disgusting to me.
Kindergarten's like 5, though, right? 4 or 5?
Yeah.
I was 6.
That's just a stone's throw away from 15.
Dude,
DJ.
I was 6 years old and I was digging on it. I don't know why, but I was so happy she kissed me at 6.
Huh.
Yeah, I must have been advanced.
Apparently so.
I liked girls.
And what happened?
What happened? I know, I liked girls and they wanted nothing to do with me. How sad was that for my whole life, except this one girl, Gail?
One person says, making the final payment on my house.
Yeah. Ooh.
That's like, I remember making the final payment on a car.
Yeah.
I always give, when I had the minivan, I made the final payment, then I got into a bad car accident, it was totaled, and it was considered a loss. I was just like, son.
And that sucks.
I was so nervous to make the final payment on my Jeep, thinking, okay, what's going to happen after that? And luckily, it's been fine.
Making the final payment on the house, though,
I don't even know what that would
that's
be
insane.
Like. Yeah, I wish.
What an accomplishment. Congratulations. That is not easy to do. First of all, you got to stay in it. Really, you got to stay in it to win it. And I don't know if you did the, you know, the 30-year or if you, you know, paid down the principal a lot, which they tell you to do. But man, I mean, you're free and clear. That's like your biggest debt you'll ever have. If hopefully you got your college debts paid off, it's the biggest debt you'll ever have. And then from there on, then you can be debt free once you get that house done.
That's got to be the greatest thing, to know that you don't have to send a mortgage check every month.
Yeah. Oh, that's so awesome. Congratulations. All right, I got a question. Why would a group of people intentionally drive their SUV into a lake? I'll tell you why at 8:17 on The Rock.
BJ and Migs, mornings on The Rock, 99.9
KISW, The Rock of Seattle. Oh, here's the highlight of your day. Someone drove their SUV into a lake to win a bet, and then they got their friend arrested.
There you go.
Congratulations, everybody.
Best bet ever.
Best bet ever. Oh, yeah. So, a 28-year-old by the name of Raimondo was hanging out with some friends at Lake Havasu in Arizona on Saturday. And that's a place where people go to party.
Yes.
So that's a party joint. And his friend made a bet with someone about how far they could drive into the lake without getting their SUV stuck.
Oh, jeez. This already a recipe for disaster.
It's not clear if Raimondo was was on the other side of the bed or where he was, but he was one of the passengers. And of course, they did get stuck while their SUV was about halfway submerged. Have no idea how much damage it caused, but the SUV did have to be towed out of the water. The cops did have to show up. And while they were there, they realized that, hey, Raimondo, you're wanted on an outstanding warrant. Congratulations. And they took Raimondo straight to jail. If you're Raimondo, do you not know when the cops are called, you need to amscray? I mean, don't you know you got a warrant?
Amscray?
Scram in pig Latin.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Amscray.
Yeah. I mean, don't they know that you got to get the hell out of there? Does he have no idea he has a warrant?
He might have had no idea that he has a warrant. I've heard stories about people that didn't even know until they were like pulled over for a speeding ticket or something like that. And then they find out, well, sir, there's a warrant for your arrest.
Man, that's, you know, again, just dumb dudes. And then all of a sudden, one's gone.
I had a cop buddy that did that. Like he had his buddy pull me over, and they pull me over, and then they're like, "Well, there's a warrant for you," and all this, and I'm like, "For what?"
Whoa.
And I'm just like, "Oh boy, oh,
you're with a badass," is what you're thinking.
No, I'm thinking I'm effed. I'm trying to get somewhere, and now I'm gonna be arrested. And then he's like, "Oh, we're just playing. I'm friends with your buddy, this guy, and he knew you were coming around this area, so he told me to pull you over." I was like, that's fun. Thanks a lot.
Oh, that's awesome.
Tell him I said hi. Yeah. By hi, F off.
Yeah, nice.
I'm looking at a picture of the SUV, and it doesn't get very deep before it gets stuck.
Look at that.
It barely gets to the top of the tire.
It's got to be it has to be like the muddiness, though, right? And it just can't get any traction. Like, whatever, you know, whatever. I mean, the muddiness of the bottom of the water it's in.
I feel like that's not a bet I would take.
No.
Like what's the win in that situation? How much money are you going to get?
Yeah, I mean, I don't, you know, you're off-roading, but it's not a submersive vehicle, you know? It's not an aquatic vehicle. It's supposed to be off-roading.
Oh, it'd be so awesome if you had an aquatic vehicle and no one knew. And all of a sudden, it's like a ride the duck.
Oh, I want a chitty chitty bang bang vehicle. Because that thing could go on water and land and it could fly.
Oh.
Yeah, it was an awesome car.
I don't remember. I remember the movie existed, but I don't remember anything about the movie except for the chitty chitty bang bang.
Oh, I
something,
love the car.
Something, something.
Every time they were in trouble, you know, the car would save them by either A, going into the water, or B, being able to drive off a cliff. It was awesome. Oh. That's a magical moment for me. We were talking about magical moments in our lives recently. That one I remember as a kid. I love that movie. All right, you got a new study. And this is something you're going to be happy about. And anybody that used to know me Because I'll tell you, in the early days of my career, people complained about me because I complained too much.
Okay.
Well, it turns out people who sit around and complain about work together, turns out it's actually good for their mental health. I was helping people, Steve.
But that you have to be a willing participant in this conversation. I think that's, you know.
It says here, as long as you're in it. As long as you're in it. If you're in it to win it.
All right. So you're just kind of like just projecting onto people who don't want to hear your miserableness.
It is interesting. They say that if you complain, it actually makes you more productive.
Huh.
Talking about why you hate your job makes you better at your job. Isn't that interesting? Now, here's the thing. We live in the Pacific Northwest, where people are always about the silver lining.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you know, I know only because I've lived in other parts of the country. Nowhere have I lived have people been more silver lining, the glass is half full, than here in the Pacific Northwest. It really took me aback for a while because I came from the Northeast where it was the other way around.
Right.
Everybody made mountains out of molehills. Everybody here makes molehills out of mountains. And so nothing was ever that big of a deal and everything was always going to end up okay. So you couldn't complain long around here. And I wonder if that's bad for mental health, if you actually do have to do more complaining. According to this study.
You hear that, kids? Bitch about your job today.
Make you better at your job.
What's the biggest complaint you have at your job?
The reason is
call on and tell us.
It's a simple reason, though.
Okay.
The researchers say it helps you hear that when your coworkers are bitching, it's not just you. It's nice to know they're as frustrated as you are, and you're not alone in your problems, and just sitting there in silence, which I think a lot of people, if you do work a job where you don't associate with people a whole lot, maybe you do have that loneliness thinking, I'm the only one that's got a miserable situation at my job.
And it probably feels good to know that you have a commonality.
Yeah.
And I think that's like, was it Chris Rock or one of the comics that always said, it doesn't matter what social status, economic, everybody can always find common ground in complaining about their significant other.
Yes.
Or relationship or whatever it is. And so work's kind of like that too, where it's like, well, we can all relate. We all have moments where we hate our job. No different than you have moments where you may be frustrated with your significant other and you talk to someone like, oh, me too. I have that same problem. You feel better about it.
And it's tough if it's somebody who's not in your job, because some people will go, you know what, my dream job would be what you have.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you tell that to a person, they'll go, like I thought, man, I would love to work at a donut shop. And the
donut,
and I remember saying that every time, you know, growing up in the Boston area, home of Dunkin' Donuts, I kept saying, dude, you've got the best job ever. And he would look at me with the most miserable, miserable face saying,
how old were you when you were saying this?
I was like probably 18 to 22. Okay. I love Dunkin' Donuts, man.
Right, but that doesn't mean you want to work there.
Yeah, I did. I wanted to do it. Because, I mean, you can't
when I was
Dunkin'
15,
Donuts.
I wanted to work at, you know, McDonald's. Well, first, and then also Blockbuster. Because then I could have unlimited access to rentals.
Yes.
But like then when you become an adult, you realize that's not really a fun, that's like a means to an end.
No, not me, buddy. I wanted those donuts. I love donuts. And so, but I remember thinking that was the best job ever, but he was like, no, dude, you don't want this job.
Get up early in the morning.
You'll hate donuts after doing this. You'll hate it. Hate it forever. Got another new survey for you, Steve. I don't believe this. I do not believe this at all.
Okay.
According to a new survey, 1 out of 3 people say they never pick their nose.
Oh, that's a lie.
Yeah.
Everybody's picked their nose at some point, right?
Yeah, and really 40% of women say they don't do it. Yeah. And Vicky, you know that's a lie?
Yeah. Everyone picks their nose. Anybody who says they don't is a dirty damn liar.
Yeah, just go on the road and drive around on the freeway.
I heard it's
I always see people digging for gold, myself included.
I have heard, and it's disgusting, along with, you know, biting your nails and picking your nose, is that it's supposed to be the body's natural way of fighting germs and stuff if you actually ingest your nails and your nose.
I'm
activity.
Not ingesting any of that
I
stuff.
Know. I'm just saying that that's what, I mean, nature, it's nature's way of
it's
us getting immune.
And it's propaganda trying to get people to eat their boogers.
It's not propaganda if it's true.
I don't care. I'm alive.
Yeah,
boogers.
You're alive, all right, buddy.
So is it okay also to flick your boogers at your coworkers?
I think that's like almost like, you know, marking your territory.
Wait,
okay.
Where are you flicking?
Sometimes to the right.
Okay, good.
Don't flick to the right. Flick over there to Vicky's side. She's a smaller target. You won't even hit her. And
she's
then
a germaphobe. I'm trying to show respect.
Oh, thanks. That's really nice. Yeah, half of the people admit they pick their nose, but they only do it in private. And 5% don't care what society thinks. They pick theirs in public.
Yeah, I do it in the lactation station, the privacy room.
Yeah, that's a good place to go do a lot of things.
Yeah.
You don't know what's going on in that privacy room, Steve. You sure you want to go in there?
You ever, like, look over, though? You see, like, an attractive chick driving, and she's, or for you, maybe an attractive dude. And you look over, and you're like, oh, look at her. Oh, wow, she is digging. I mean, she might be touching her brain. Holy smokes.
Was that a turn off, though, or is that kind of make it better, though?
It's not a turn on, Vicky.
Well, no, not a...
I mean,
now we're going down a different path of what Vicky's into.
I'm not saying that, like, picking your nose is what's going to, like, get you going, but the idea of, like, yeah, she doesn't care. She's a dirty girl. She will do whatever.
Yeah, wow. I wouldn't go that. I wouldn't read into it that much. I'd just be like, oh, she clearly has a booger on her nose. But it wouldn't be a deal breaker. If I thought someone was attractive and then I saw them pick their nose, I wouldn't stop pursuing them or wanting to date them or continue, you know, whatever.
What if she ate it?
I wouldn't be able to handle it.
Then you'd be done.
No mouthwash, no nothing?
Nothing. I'm out. I would be 100% out. It could be Jennifer Lopez.
It's an interesting thing.
That's disgusting.
Because you meet a girl, and you don't know what she's done in her life. You do not know where she's been. And that's the worst that you... And I don't think that's the worst thing she can put in her mouth if you're a guy meeting somebody for the first time.
Right, like every other dude before me.
Exactly.
I know.
Yet, yeah, that doesn't bother us.
It's visually disturbing.
Yeah, I get that.
I like this. Some texters just said, it's funny. I was picking my nose when you started talking about picking your nose. LOL. Oh, somebody said, my fingers are too fat for my skinny nostrils. So I use Q-tips to pick my nose.
Wow, that's I have the reverse problem. I could get double two fingers up mine. Damn, dude.
Good. Prove it.
Yes.
Prove it.
Fixer didn't happen.
No, I'm not going to put two fingers up my nose just for your
enjoyment. Why'd you brag about it?
Yeah.
Then?
Because it was a long time ago. I have to stretch. Okay? I mean, I have to work out before I get back into it.
We've got another hour and a half.
All right, I'll have to do some stretching. Meanwhile, I got some good news for you, Steve.
Oh, great.
After years of... No, this is good news. What do you mean, oh, great? You complain at work. This is good news.
I assume anything you say that's good news for me is going to be something that's will make me sad.
No, this is... I think lately I've been giving you good news when
okay.
I say it's good news.
Let's see.
After years of talk, it's finally official. A third Bill and Ted is happening.
All right, that is good news.
I told you.
The Wild Stallions are back. Excellent to each other.
What
one of the
Alex
greatest
Winter been doing, by the way?
Waiting for the call.
Yeah. What is Alex Winter done?
He was on MTV Cribs maybe like 15 years ago.
Really? I mean, Keanu Reeves is obviously he's John Wick. His career is going really well, but Alex Winter is like, man.
Yeah, this is like a favorite Alex. If I've got to put two and two together, because Keanu Reeves doesn't need this.
No,
but I bet Alex does.
And you know, Keanu Reeves has probably got to get paid.
What's Alex? What's his net worth, I wonder?
Oh, I'm going to say it's $3
million. Alex Winter?
I'm going to give it to him.
I don't even...
It's not gonna even going to be like six figures, man.
Oh, really? I bet it's six figures.
All right.
Well, according to this...
High six figures.
$8
million. Whoa!
$8 million?
Alex Winter!
He's been doing some voice work every once in a while for like Ben 10 and a couple of other just random
robot
things.
Robot Chicken.
Yeah, some Robot Chicken stuff.
Oh, he's been doing... Okay, I didn't realize he was all over Robot Chicken.
Well, not necessarily all over, but...
Just here and there.
Okay. So $8 million. Wow. He must have invested that money wisely, I got to say, because I don't know how much he got paid for all those movies. I don't know if he got paid $8 million total for all those movies. Maybe he did.
I mean, you have to take that with a grain of salt with those... net worth website things, but even if it's half of that, that's still way more than I thought he was.
And he's actually been directing a bunch of stuff as well, so that might get into
that's
it.
That's what he's been doing. Okay, so...
Well, I'm very happy about this.
Since 1990, we haven't seen anything since 1991. That was the last Bill and Ted movie.
It's a bummer George Carlin's not alive.
That's true.
Because he was a great part of that.
Yeah, you're right. So I wonder what they'll do with that, if they'll just get a whole new character or what they'll do with that.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I think, you know what, after all the reboots and everything that goes on, it makes a lot of sense. You know? I mean, I wonder if we'll see another Wayne's World, if in fact they will say, hey, let's do that.
Oh, I wouldn't be surprised.
You know, it's been a long time.
Doing?
Well, Dana Carvey's done a couple of impression shows, I think, on TBS.
Again, what have those guys been doing?
Yeah, and I really think Mike Myers is just laid low because everything he's done, people hate. I feel like he's just been laying low.
Well, I mean, he did give us that excellent film called The Love Guru.
Yeah.
I'm a hockey fan, and I couldn't even put up with that movie.
I know, dude. Yeah,
I'll watch any movie that has hockey in it.
I know. That was tough.
Yeah.
And he was such... I mean, Mike Myers, for the longest time, was the guy.
Dude, so you know how they're doing a Bohemian Rhapsody, the movie, which is, you know, about Queen and everything? He's apparently going to be in it.
Who?
Mike Myers. It doesn't say what he's going to be, but he's going to be in that movie.
Is it a documentary or just a...
How could it be a documentary if they have people acting in it?
Well, I wasn't sure if it was going to be. I don't know what the movie's about.
It's going to be about Freddie Mercury.
And Zachary Quinto's playing Freddie Mercury.
Actually,
oh, is he really?
Rami Malek.
Oh, I thought Zachary Quinto
no,
won.
No, they've changed a few people. Originally, it was going to be Sacha Baron Cohen, and then they've kind of switched around, but now it's Mr. Robot.
Oh, wow. He is Freddie Mercury. That's going to be interesting.
Oh, my gosh. He looks just like him.
Wow.
That's pretty awesome.
Oh, damn. With the that's Rami?
Yeah.
Whoa. He does look just like him. Wow, that'll be interesting to see how Rami takes him on, because he's... Wow, Freddie Mercury is really, you know, he's a showman. He's very expressive. And Rami's character, Mr. Robot, is the exact opposite of that. Wow. Okay. I might want to watch that movie just because I love that actor.
Yeah.
Well, I wonder what the hell Mike Myers is going to do in it since the Wayne's World. That's why I said documentary. Like, is he going to be like talking about what Wayne's World and Bohemian Rhapsody was to that whole character thing?
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, I didn't. So he's actually going to be in it.
It's probably like playing like a manager or something.
Probably.
Yeah, Rami Malek, he looks great for it.
Wow. Okay, I'm excited to see.
They better include the moment when Freddie Mercury is riding on top of Darth Vader while performing live.
Okay.
If they don't include that in the movie, then this isn't a movie.
I got no problem with that. All right, so back to Bill and Ted. We have no release date, but at least they're talking about it. So
I wonder how well it's going to do.
And they say it's happening.
Because when you think about it, a lot of people have no idea what Bill and Ted is.
Yeah, the last one was 1991, and that's when my daughter was born.
Right. Like, Danny, have you ever seen Bill and Ted?
Never seen it.
Oh.
Not once.
Vicky?
I haven't seen it, but I know what it is. I've seen clips.
If they can hot tub time machine it, if they can really make it fun like that, then even if you haven't seen it, you might still go, this looks like a fun movie, let me check it out.
I feel like Keanu is what's really going to sell it for people. Young and old people are going to go see it because of him.
Yeah, I mean that's exactly, you know, he's the one that became the big star out of the two of them. All right. I wonder if Alex Winters could still act. I wonder, well, actually, I mean, could he, I mean, you know,
we weren't
really
this,
have to act.
This wasn't like an acting.
You're right.
It wasn't like a movie that like showed off their acting muscles.
Has there been any movie that really has shown off Keanu's acting muscles, really?
Socrates.
Yeah. All right, yesterday, Steve, he did get this one right.
Nantucket is an island that is a part of what state?
Kentucky.
No.
Florida.
No.
Massachusetts.
Yes.
Whatever. That, you know, honestly, well, you pull that one out, really?
I was just like, let me just throw in a stupid guess.
Yeah.
And thanks. Who do I know lived in a stupid place?
Okay, that's enough.
And stupid BJ.
Alrighty. You want a shot at beating C? Let's hope he has no more stupid guesses. 206-421-ROCK. We're playing Beat Migs at 847 on The Rock.
Today's podcast was brought to you by Travis Gagne, bankruptcy attorney. He's here right now and has agreed to answer more of your questions about bankruptcy. How do I figure out who my creditors are?
People, a lot of times, have had a long time of not having good credit and having collections, and so they're concerned that you may be concerned that you won't be able to find all your creditors if you file bankruptcy. How will I know which collection agency has my credit card bill from 10 years ago now? And that's something that's hard to keep track of because credit collection agencies transfer your debts all over the place. But we will pull all your credit bureaus, and by getting all three of your credit bureaus, we'll be able to tell who has your credit and debt now, which collection agencies have had it in the past, and we'll make sure that we file all your creditors when we file your bankruptcy so that nothing slips through the cracks.
Thanks, Travis. If you have more questions about bankruptcy, you can reach out to Travis anytime at ChooseTheRightChapter.com. That's ChooseTheRightChapter.com. Thanks for listening.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.